Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July 17th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And as you further know, we're convinced the checks and balances are one of the modern-day keys to our success. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the seeds for solution right there in the founding of our country, ladies and gentlemen. The checks and balances are brilliant and make an absolute huge difference indeed. Hang on, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. All right, so board up, that was Stuart Rhodes dialing in. Call him back on the number that I gave you, and we'll get him on as a guest. In the meantime, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I'm all by myself. We tried to call the guest, didn't answer, and then he called me on my personal office line, which is great, but I didn't want to have the conversation on the air preliminarily. I never put somebody on the air without their full knowledge there on the air. I don't play games like that like other people do. So there you have that. Anyway, our board op producer, Cameron, will be getting a hold of our guest coming up. Our guest will be Stuart Rhodes today. But before we get to him, a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. We had our guest on, Mr. Chris Carlson, discussion of all things liberty. We discussed the general welfare clause of the United States Constitution and how it's basically perverted and misrepresented these days. It's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 of the Constitution. They say the general welfare clause is often referred to as the tax and spending clause because of its extensive misuse today, ladies and gentlemen. That's really critical to understand. Many people claim it gives the feds the right to do anything they want to. They can define it any way they want as long as they call it the welfare clause. They can do anything they want. That's a lie. We talked about Biden, who wants to expand the child welfare tax credit. He called on Congress on Thursday saying it can reduce poverty in America. That's a lie. We talked about Governor Bradford and the lessons he learned at Thanksgiving back in the early Pilgrim days. Individualistic sink or swim is the solution. Voluntary Christian charity versus forced government welfare, ladies and gentlemen. True generosity requires choice, not coercion. Let me say that again. Voluntary Christian charity versus forced government welfare. True generosity, ladies and gentlemen, involves choice, not coercion. Anyway, what is moral hazard? We talked about that. Definition, moral hazard is a situation, ladies and gentlemen, where one party is protected from the responsibility or risks of their decisions by another party. Thus, politicians vote us into oblivion, financially speaking. It's a moral hazard because the congressmen and senators that vote for it aren't responsible. At the end of the day, the taxpayers on the hook. One party makes decisions, the other group incurs the cost, right? Both parties have incomplete information about each other. That is moral hazard. We got that going on big time. The other clause in the general welfare clause of the Constitution is this: but all duties, imposts, and excise shall be uniform throughout the United States. That's a part they miss whenever they promote this agenda as well, perverting the welfare clause. They want you to believe that they can do whatever they want to. That's a lie. Uniform duties, uniform taxes. We don't have that in America. We're violating the Constitution left and right. We also talked about Biden sadly opens the back door to universal basic income rights the Hill. It is a shame indeed. All right, forget the rest of the recap. We'll talk about that a little later in the broadcast. For now, our guest, Stuart Rhodes, with us. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. You're traveling all over the country, aren't you?
Actually, I'm in Texas right now. I've been here for a good spell, so I'm not traveling at the moment.
All right. Well, that's good news. As far as I understand, you went to CPAC, right?
Yeah, I did. CPAC Dallas. That's right. So CPAC came to me. Yeah, we had a booth. It's really kind of funny. People are acting, or the left is acting like it's some kind of great new, you know, Waterloo moment that Oath Keepers was at CPAC. We had a booth at CPAC back in, I think it was back in 2013.
So you've been with CPAC for a long time.
Yeah.
What the mainstream press is trying to do, in my opinion, is they're trying to basically tar and feather you. They're trying to, in the court of public opinion, rally their minions against you and the Oath Keepers to the point where it's laughable to those of us who are in the know. But for the rest, they're kind of shocked that their abuse hasn't taken a greater toll, right?
Right. So what's going on? I mean, heck, with Sheriff Mack was on our board of directors, and he was also, of course, leading CSPOA. And he was a speaker at CPAC years ago. So, you know, and I've been there many times. So it's just bizarre. But, yeah, I was walking in with one of our Texas supporters, a lady, a rancher, and we were walking in, and this hack journalist or so-called journalist from Salon was walking the other direction. He's like, Stuart Rhodes? I'm like, yeah, what's up? I saw he was from Salon, but I was still willing to talk to him because I'm polite. And he said, why did CPAC let you in here? I said, well, why wouldn't they? And he said, oh, because of your involvement in the attack on the Capitol. And I just told him F off. You know, I told him, hey, you know, F you. So,
Reason why is because they're not starting the conversation to really have a meeting of the minds and a real discussion. What they're really trying to do is find a story where they can basically pervert the truth and have greater attacks and get brownie buttons from their leadership, right?
He's being a rude jerk. It's just, you know, it's like, and I said it in the same tone as you would say, buzz off. I didn't yell. Then later he published that, you know, Stuart Rhodes, you know, lost his mind and was yelling in the hallway. And it's really funny. I was talking to another Army veteran, and we're like, that's not yelling. Apparently this metrosexual doesn't know what yelling is. You know, when we were in basic training, we were taught by our DIs how to yell. You know, you're going to sound off like you got there. So that was not yelling. That's just me saying, but you know, buzz off. So they
go ahead, sir.
so they spun it, of course, like classic projection. He's the one that like acting like a rude jerk in the hallway, and he turned it around and made it into I was harassing him. So,
all right, so basically, they come up to Stuart Rhodes from Salon. They try to harass him, treat him as if he's some kind of a criminal, or that he's done something wrong, or that he's guilty before he's ever, you know, been even charged with anything somehow. This is insane. Here's the headline they write to prove the point. And I think it's quite telling with what they write. Okay. Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the right wing Oath Keepers militia, was spotted by a Salon reporter at CPAC in Dallas. And he was even sporting an official CPAC pass. Okay. What kind of a phraseology is that? You got all kinds of scare words in there. Militia, right wing, spotted by a Salon reporter like you're going in there incognito or something, right? And they found you out. They discovered you. And
exactly,
by golly, right. Okay, this is goofy, sir.
It is. And then he went on to harass other attendees, including Mike Lindell. And then, ironically, he was kicked out. So CPAC kicked him out instead of me, which I thought was pretty funny. So, hoisted on his own petard.
All right, now here's the other headline
because he was actually harassing, you know, guests. He was actually doing what he said that I was doing.
Yes, that's how they often operate, and that's why I call them out over it. Here's the other headline they have to prove the point. They act like they were innocent, that you just went up and just assaulted them. By the way, Salon's not even on the radar for folks like me and Stuart and others. We could care less about them, but when they come up and confront us, we're not going to take it either. Here's what they say. Listen to this headline. CPAC's Dallas conference was a carnival of extremists and conspiracy theorists. You think these guys are really the ones getting harassed? Ain't they really the ones that are just like, oh my gosh, we are there minding our own, and old Stewart came up, the militia man, and assaulted us? See, these people are crazy, and their headlines prove it. What do you mean a carnival of extremists? Well, they were there, so I guess that's somewhat true. But I look at that, and I just go, their headlines give them away, Stewart.
Amen, yeah. So, really, we all need to stop talking to the leftist media entirely. Just don't even respond to them. So I had a Washington Post reporter walk up to me, and she was nice. I saw her. She was sitting cross-legged typing in her computer, and then I saw her at a distance. When she saw me, she hopped up and ran towards me. I was like, oh, I feel sorry for this young girl. I'm going to go ahead and talk to her. So I talked to her at length. Nothing I said to her made it into the article. Just that she had spotted me at CPAC. That's all it was really said. Same kind of smear campaign. They never quote you. They never have a real discussion. It's always about just getting a soundbite or a photo and then demonizing. So there's really no point in talking to them. It'd be like a GI in World War II talking to Tokyo Rose. There's no point.
What they basically try to do is they try to demonize, then they try to isolate. They want to basically barbecue us all in the court of public opinion. The difference is they used to have enough media to make it stick. Now the new media is taking center stage, and they can't get away with it so easy because folks like me and Stewart and others flat out call them out and call a halt to their con game. Ladies and gentlemen, Stewart Rose, stay there. We got a whole lot to talk about. I want to talk about what actually happened at CPAC that was positive or good. And then I want to talk about you sat down with the FBI and a whole lot more. Ladies and gentlemen, what do they do with good, honest patriots?
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Ladies and gentlemen, dishonest headlines from Salon about CPAC. Stewart Rhodes was there, of course, with a legitimate pass to attend. Salon freaked. Everybody freaked out, acting like somehow Stewart's a criminal. And here's what they basically do. They paint a dismal picture, to say the least. Not only did they attack Stewart, but they literally attacked everybody. Mike Lindell, they call us a carnival of right-wing extremists. And then they say all shapes and sizes of conspiracy fans and January 6th supporters showed up in Dallas. Organizers didn't even care. What on earth is a January 6th supporter? Okay, it's kind of like calling somebody a birther, calling somebody a truther, calling somebody now you're a Jan 6th supporter. Well, I don't even know what a Jan 6th supporter is, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, if you want to say that we are the government and they work for us, then I am a Gen 6 supporter. If you want to say that, hey, we're terrorists and insurrectionists and Donald's the chief of us all, that's a lie from the pit of hell. If they want to tell you that we completely disagree on the issues, I agree they're right. But here's what's important. This guy is named Zachary Petrizzo, I think is his name. Is that the reporter that talked to you, or was it a girl from Salon?
Sorry.
Go ahead, sir.
So I can't tell the difference. I'm just joking.
Well, you're not joking. Sadly, that's a reality today too, sir.
Right. That's who it was. Right.
All right. And this guy's goofy, though. Think about the headlines. A carnival, a circus, all shapes and sizes of conspiracy people and January 6th supporters. What the heck is a January 6th supporter, sir?
Well, you pegged it. Their entire argument now is to use the January 6th protest. I call it a mostly peaceful protest. And make that into the Reichstag fire. It's the American Reichstag fire. They're now going to use that to justify persecuting political dissidents, labeling anybody who was in D.C., in fact, labeling all Trump supporters terrorists. He's a chief terrorist. That's exactly what they're doing. They want to say that, you know, Trump is an insurrectionist. And once again, it's classic projection. They were the ones fermenting and carrying out insurrection all last summer, burning down cities. They're the ones who pulled a coup by stealing the election, but they're going to project onto us what they're doing. They're accusing us of trying to overthrow the government when they just did it themselves. And they're accusing us of being insurrectionists when they've been, you know, wildly insurrectionists for an entire year.
Now, I'm going to compare your actions to Ammon Bundy a little bit for a reason, Stuart. Hopefully this is okay. Hear me out to make sense of this. They tried to paint Ammon Bundy as this extremist, crazy man. They're trying to make you out to be this extremist, crazy man. You're both armed to the teeth in militias, ready to turn on everybody at an instant. Lies and dishonest portrayals. Ammon Bundy, even when he was in the Mount Hare Wildlife Refuge, would leave the refuge and go sit down in the middle of gymnasiums with his cowboy hat on and peacefully listen to the discussions that were being had about his involvement. At the end of the day, even though the government belligerently ended up giving him 2 years in prison, but he was guilty of nothing. And at the end of the day, the FBI got caught withholding exculpatory evidence and got caught lying, so much so that the judge was forced to dismiss the case to protect a lot of the agent provocateurs and the real details of how criminal the government really was in the Ammon Bundy case. You're pretty much the same way. They're trying to paint you in the court of public opinion as the enemy, and they're surprised when Ammon Bundy goes into the gymnasium, peaceful as could be with his cowboy hat on. They're surprised when Stuart Rhodes walks into CPAC with a legitimate pass because we've done nothing wrong, and the reality is guilty of nothing. They tased Ammon Bundy's attorney in court even. Okay, but yet at the end of the day, Ammon is guilty of nothing. And I submit the same reality is happening here. They're losing their narrative. The more they push, the more they look insane. And this is more proof as you walk into this peaceful CPAC conference with a legitimate pass, and they just can't believe that their attacks haven't worked to the degree they thought they would. And now they don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And people need to understand that there are now over 500 Americans who were in D.C. who simply, most of them just walked through doors that were already open, walked in the Capitol, took a selfie and walked back out. They're now being treated like terrorists. We've got four oath keepers in the D.C. jail who've been denied bond, along with about 35 other Americans. And so, of course, they're being treated as guilty until proven innocent. One of our guys, Ken Harrelson, is an Army veteran, disarmed, discharged, combat vet, and his bond was denied first by the magistrate because he had smoked pot when he was a teenager, even though he had no charges. That was the first excuse, you know, to deny him bond, even though it's been many, many years ago, and since then he's been honorably discharged from the military. But then the one in D.C. Withheld his bond for two reasons. One, because he's a military veteran, as though that's some kind of horrible crime, and two, because of his association with Oath Keepers, as though we were some illegal terrorist organization or cartel or something. So, you know, we're completely above board constitutional organization. Our guys go and protect people against actual terrorists in the streets, Antifa.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling it psychotic, dishonest headlines from Salon. Because really, what happens, these people lose their minds. They become unhinged when the rule of law becomes the reality check. Let me give you an example. There's a headline right now from Western Journal. C. Douglas Golden writes it, and listen to this carefully, ladies and gentlemen, because they've been telling you literally since January 6th that Donald Trump was an insurrectionist, that this was a terrorist act greater than the United States Civil War, whatever they wanted to say. Okay, but literally, what are we, 6 months later now? A little bit more? And the headline says this: despite accusations from Democrats, and I believe that should be broadened, despite accusations from the swamp, no January 6th protesters, none, have been charged with treason or sedition, not a single one. And every one of them is like, oh my gosh, you walked around the Capitol, you disturbed the peace. Or you, your actions might have been peaceful, but you influenced others who went more radical on us. Kind of an idea. But nobody's been charged with anything significant beyond very, very basic, minor, you can debate if they're even legitimate charges, Stuart. Not a single one, sir.
Oh, they're all grossly overcharged. So most of them are being charged with a either conspiracy to disrupt Congress or actually disrupting Congress. But what's interesting is Gateway Pundit now has an article out that says that the actual reason why that the Congress was evacuated was because of the bomb threat, because of the two pipe bombs that were found down the street, and they were concerned about a bomb threat. Nothing to do with people walking in the Capitol. So like you said earlier, their entire narrative is starting to fall apart. You had people who were protesting. You had some that did break in, but now we have to go and take a good look at, you know, who those people were. I think some of them were just ticked off Americans, but there were probably also, you know, there's also black-clad provocateurs who were breaking in, and when Trump supporters would try to stop them, they would turn around and assault the Trump supporter. So I think there's a very good chance that the FBI had provocateurs, just like they did at Malheur. You know, was it like a dozen confidential informants that were around Alan Bundy that the FBI inserted, you know, paid snitches and paid provocateurs? I think you're going to see the same thing in D.C., that there was, you know, quite a bit of FBI involvement.
I think we're going to see the same thing in D.C. if we can get to the truth. What they usually do, though, is they will, you know, classify this, or they'll create gag orders on that, or they'll whatever, they'll dismiss cases if they have to, like they did Ammon Bunny. The big reason they didn't want to continue that case is because they realized this was going to be a basically reality check right before the public on how criminal the government really is. And they were like, no, we don't want our provocateurs' names to be brought out in court. We don't want to, you know what, we've already lost and you know, had to explain away our lying on the stand and our withholding of exculpatory evidence and anything else. We're just going to, dismiss the case. Now, a lot of people praise the judge for that, but I say, you know what? The judge had to do that, or else we would have known the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and that's what they didn't want. So I'm afraid here they might bottle it all up, too, if we're not very careful.
Well, that's why they're denying all the footage from inside the Capitol. They won't most selectively release little bits of footage here and there that support their narrative and support their false charges. They don't want to reveal all the rest of the footage because it might reveal provocateurs who were allowed in, who then opened the doors. It might reveal, you know, exculpatory actions. Like some of the oath keepers that went in, afterwards, I asked their team leader, he said, hey, we went inside the Capitol. I asked him why. He said, well, because we had heard someone had been shot. That was Ashley Babbitt. And he had two medics on the team, so he went in to render medical aid. And then while they were inside, they actually helped police officers. They dialed back confrontations between angry Trump supporters and some of the Capitol police officers. And so they were assisting law enforcement inside. And we can't have that be out there. So that's why they're trying to, you know, stop the narrative or the counter narrative from us. You don't see any of that in the news media.
Well, here's what I find interesting, though. They want you to believe that somehow the Oath Keepers went psychotic on January the 6th. But the truth is, Oath Keepers around the country have been helping people for literally years in location after location after location with stellar reports and appreciation from the police and from local officials up and down the line to this date. That's the other narrative they don't want to talk about. We'll talk about that with Stuart in seconds. Stuart Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, oathkeepers.org on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Concerns about inflation on the rise. A study out Friday by the University of Michigan finds consumer sentiment this month at a five-month low. The biggest complaints for consumers, higher prices for homes, cars, and durable goods. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on CNBC this week.
I think we will have several more months of rapid inflation. So I'm not saying that this is a one-month phenomenon, but I think over the medium term, we'll see inflation decline back toward normal levels.
The Labor Department announcing this week the Consumer Price Index went up 0.9% in June. That's the largest one-month increase in 13 years. Some relief Saturday for Europeans affected by deadly flooding. Water is receding in Germany and Belgium. Over 150 deaths recorded so far. That number expected to climb, though. Officials say as waters recede, more bodies will likely be discovered. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow. Made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
The CDC says over 97% of people entering hospitals for COVID right now are unvaccinated. John Clemens reports.
The so-called Delta variant is highly transmissible, but the cases are typically milder in vaccinated people. Those without the vaccine are likely to become seriously ill from COVID and end up in the hospital. Jeff Zients is the White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator.
Just four states accounted for more than 40% of all cases in the past week, with one in five of all cases occurring in Florida alone.
Florida is reporting an average of 29 new infections for every 100,000 people per day. That is more than four times the national average. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
Plans underway to get Afghans who helped the U.S. military out of the country before a possible Taliban takeover. Evacuation flights out of Afghanistan could begin next week. This is USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Stuart Rhodes riding shotgun on your radio today. Oathkeepers.org. Guardians of the Republic, ladies and gentlemen. The point I was making right before the break, I want Stuart to be able to respond to. You know what? You've got years and years of meeting with all kinds of local officials all across the country, helping them keep the peace, dial back a confrontation, trying to help people not get so out of control on any side of the debate. It's not a left-right. It's not a white-black. It's a we're Americans, and we want to make sure we preserve the Republic. Guardians of the Republic is the phrase on your website to highlight what the Oath Keepers do, helping people keep their oaths of office and serve with honor. I bring that all up because now they want you to believe, after years and years and years of this, where you've got people all across the country that would say, hey, you know what? I'm not even part of the Oath Keepers, but they have come here. They were great. They did a phenomenal job providing security and support for us. We're grateful to them. But now they want everyone to believe that you guys just went psychotic crazy at the Capitol. This narrative just won't stick. Stuart?
Well, they're trying to argue that we planned an unarmed insurrection, which is just ludicrous. You know, we were
what the heck is an unarmed insurrection?
Right, exactly. So if
you squirt guns, I mean, what are they talking about?
Right, no guns, just flagpoles and whatnot. So, but yeah, it's just ridiculous nonsense. It's actually an insult to our confidence, you know. So we had combat veterans, special warfare veterans in D.C. with us. If we had wanted to actually take over the Capitol, we'd have taken it. But that's not our intent. We were there to protect people against Antifa, just as we had done in two prior Stop the Steal rallies in November and December, because Antifa likes to attack Trump supporters across the country. We've been doing this across the country all during the campaign season, too, at a dozen Trump rallies. And then long before that, we were protecting free speech, starting in Berkeley, California, right after the after Trump's inauguration. They were attacking people on the streets, not letting conservatives speak. And so we've been doing the same exact mission for years of guarding people and protecting them while they speak, protecting the speakers and the events, and also escorting Trump supporters back to their cars, back to their hotels, because Antifa likes to single people out and attack them.
Well, it's just very clear. You're catching flack when you're over the target. That's the reality, right?
Right. You're right. Amen. You know,
all right.
Unfortunately, now we're
sure, go ahead.
People on the right, too. We got people on the right accusing us of being, you know, FBI agents and provocateurs and all kinds of goofy nonsense. So I'm
right.
Wind
so,
up
so let me take that on directly, Stuart. Here's the headline that they're using now. I'm rewriting the headline slightly, but they call it a bold move. Stuart sits down with the FBI against legal advice. Now, here's what I find comical about their headline. They're not even attorneys writing that you're sitting down against legal advice, but you're a Yale-trained attorney. I don't know whose legal advice you're supposed to get, but you sit down with the FBI, they try to question you, and the reason that you're sitting down with them is because you're saying, guys, I have nothing to hide. I'm right here. Otherwise, if I don't sit down with you, then they're going to write articles that Stuart's running around hiding.
I did not sit down with them. What happened is they had a subpoena for my phone, a search warrant for my phone, and they walked up to me while I was standing on a sidewalk, and they pulled up, and they didn't surround me or anything nonsense like that either. So they just got out of the car, two guys, walked up very politely. We had a nice conversation. They said, hey, you know, you're not under arrest. You're just here for your phone. And then they said, well, would you be willing to answer a couple questions? And I was actually standing there with our general counsel, Kelly Sorrell in Texas, when they walked up to us. So I said, sure, I'll talk to you. And it was against the advice of the D.C. lawyer, Ed McMahon, that I had hired for my own legal defense in case I'm charged. His standard rule is don't talk to the feds at all, ever. Don't talk to the FBI. And I think that's good general advice. But I talked to them because I wanted to make sure that they knew exactly what we were doing in D.C., exactly what our plan was, which was simply to do security. And they understood that our guys, you know, went in for all the most honorable intentions. And so I did talk to them. I said, look, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to go ahead and try to get my guys a little bit more of a clarity and understanding by these FBI agents. So at least we know that we have told them the truth. And then they took my phone. Of course, they got all our chats. And then they went and interviewed our team leader on the ground. He was an ex-police officer and a combat veteran, Whip. He goes by the name Whip. He's still a current serving contractor. And they interviewed him. He did a voluntary interview as well. They copied his phone. So they've got everything. So they know exactly what we were doing and why we were there. So the continued persecution of our people is nothing but a political persecution of dissidents. I consider that the gulag on the Potomac now.
And it's a stunt just like they did to Ammon Bundy, where they're lying, they're withholding exculpatory evidence, they're doing things to paint a different narrative, and they're using the media, Salon and others, as their stooge boys to get that done. Stuart?
That's right. In fact, the other day, the New York Times called me and said that the reason why I gave an interview about that FBI conversation I had with the agents on the sidewalk is because someone in the FBI tipped the New York Times about the contents of our conversation. So the guy knew. Someone at the FBI told him what we had been talking about. So they called me up and said, well, I want to make sure I got this straight. So I corrected some errors. I said, yeah, here's what we said. And here's what I told them about our guys going in. And they left out the part about, hey, our guys also protected police officers inside. There was an angry crowd around one officer who looked, you know, extremely nervous behind his M4, and to prevent a tragedy, they got in between, dialed it back, and then escorted that officer to another group of officers. That never made print. That's what I told the FBI, but the New York Times, of course, leaves that out, because you can't have that in there, you know. So that's what they do. They'll leave out, like, I have a black vice president who's a cop in Montana. He's done long interviews with three different times with the New York Times. None of it's ever made print, because it doesn't fit the narrative. The narrative is we're a bunch of crazy, wild-eyed, you know, white supremacists. That's the narrative that they want to project onto all of the patriots across the country.
Never mind that the Oath Keepers have gone to painstaking efforts to make sure that, hey, race isn't part of our narrative. Keeping our oaths of office and protecting America is, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, our bylaws track the U.S. military rules about, you know, you can't be discriminatory toward other people according to their race or their religion. So, exactly right.
All right, so the headline that I'm going to write then is FBI takes and returns Stewart's cell phone. Guilty of nothing?
Well, they had it for 2 weeks. None of our guys are guilty. That's my point. But they're just scrambling and trying to find something that they can make stick. Their narrative's starting to fall apart. There were no guns present. None of our guys were actually violent. All they did is walk through doors already open. And in fact, they rendered medical aid to people. And there was like people that were being hit with tear gas. They were treating. I talked to another witness that was outside with them on the steps as they were treating people. So their narrative is falling apart. And it's not just for the Oath Keepers. It's for everybody who went inside. You know, if they were to release the footage inside, you would see even more absurd footage of people just walking between, you know, ropes, looking around, taking pictures, and walking back out. And they're all being charged with felony disruption of official proceeding, and also quite a few of them with supposed conspiracy.
All right, now I want to bring this up because I find this ironic. So they're going to call the Donald Trump scenario an insurrection, ladies and gentlemen, where Donald peacefully spoke at the event there on January 6th that, hey, I want you guys to ask your congressmen and senators to look into vote fraud, peacefully do this. Then, you know what, 99% of the people were peaceful. There might have been a few people who got deceived and were following the crowd and did some stupid stuff. There was agent provocateurs there that certainly led the charge to paint this dishonest, irrational, unrealistic narrative. But they call it an insurrection. But here's what's interesting. Just a couple of days ago, Stuart, there's a headline that says this. Congresswoman Joyce Beatty arrested at voting rights protest. Their group marched at the Capitol. Okay? She's of Ohio. She's the chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, is who she is. I'm not trying to make this racial. But they had a peaceful demonstration. It was the heart of the Senate office building or whatever else. And she tweeted now alongside images of her arrest. So let me get this straight. She's allowed to continue tweeting, even though she got arrested. And they're not calling that an insurrection. They're basically not calling that anything. They'll just be like, oh, man, this girl got arrested. She shouldn't have been there. It's kind of bad she was there. Whoops, bad on me. Why isn't that an insurrection considered the same as the other? They were places they weren't supposed to be. This lady even got arrested even after she was told to leave over and over and over. And then furthermore, she's allowed to tweet alongside of her arrest photo. And no one calls it an insurrection of any kind. Isn't that interesting turn of events?
Well, yeah. And just last week you had leftists, like I think it was Earth Firsters or whatever, who surrounded the White House and blocked the entrance, basically barricaded the White House. And, you know, chain themselves together like they always do and block the entrance to the White House. And that's not being called an insurrection either. So, you know, it's an obvious double standard. It's an obvious projection.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. I've got something else I want to pick Stewart's brain on. He's a trained attorney, Yale trained. He's been in the military and served his country well. He's now serving in every way possible. And both sides are wrongly attacking him. That's my humble opinion to which I'm entitled. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and wind up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan
the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is insane. All right, check this out. So you got Congresswoman Joyce Beatty got arrested. Voting rights protest. Then she tweets about it with her arrest photo. No worry about an insurrection there of any kind. Never mind, they were there. They wouldn't go away. They were asked to leave. They still disobeyed. Then the second incident that Stuart Rhodes brings up right now, Stuart Rhodes riding shotgun on the broadcast today. Insurrection, question mark. Leftist agitators blockade every entrance to White House. Issue demands to Biden. Kevin Catapano of the Western Journal with the piece. The next piece of this, left-wing group dumps cow poop at the White House entrance, demands Biden take climate action. The more we learn, the more we realize their narrative blows up. The dishonest agenda is for the whole world to see, Stuart.
Yeah, amen. I mean, look, this is, like I said, it's classic projection. And in fact, on the racial issue, like they are trying to paint all Trump supporters as white supremacists, and they're trying to say that, well, they need to have, you know, pass the H.R. 1, the so-called Voting Rights Act, to stop us from disenfranchising black voters. That's the new shtick. That's why they paraded out the leader of the Black Caucus to go in and claim that, you know, she's standing up for voting rights. They're trying to codify the election fraud that they used to steal the election, which violated PAVA, the federal election campaign laws, violated Article 2 of the Constitution, which requires that the electors are selected in the manner that set forth by the state legislature. That was all grossly violated. It was an unconstitutional, illegal election. And yet, they want to now pretend like we are the ones who are trying to step outside of the law, step outside of the Constitution, that we're trying to disenfranchise black people by passing election reform laws that protect the vote. It's complete projection and flipping things on its head.
All stripes of Americans, all walks of life of Americans are standing side by side to keep their oaths and become guardians of the Republic. That's the reality check, and the swamp can't stand it. They're becoming unhinged. We're seeing more and more and more and more evidence of vote fraud in Georgia and in Arizona, and the information is coming to light line item by line item. Mike Lindell and others leading the charge for that, showing criminal intent with high capability of technology to commit vote fraud. More and more evidence will be forthcoming on this as well. Now, there's one last headline I want to get and get your opinion on this, Stuart, because this is very, very interesting. We know there was voter fraud, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Because we have seen what they're doing, okay? Literally vote fraud, and I'll talk about this next hour more in detail, but they're literally virtually being forced to admit there was vote fraud, and I'll explain how next hour. In the meantime, though, this headline, Stuart, I find very fascinating. Several participants of the January 6th riot, they call it, at the U.S. Capitol, which I don't call it a riot at all. I call it a peaceful event with a few provocateurs that have deceived the public. But nevertheless, they have been taking part in one attorney's, what they call a re-education program, which involves reading books or watching movies about topics like slavery and the Holocaust, etc., while they await sentencing. So here's what you do. Yeah, the government's so belligerent, put so much pressure on people that they cave. They're virtually guilty before they even start because they basically lie and plead guilty to things. Oh my gosh, I walked around the Capitol. I'm guilty. And I guess my actions might have made somebody else go off the rails. And so therefore, by golly, I'm guilty. And now they're reading books about slavery and the Holocaust before their trials even happen. Before they even have a chance to use the supreme law of our land and determine if they're really guilty or not. They're innocent until proven guilty, I might say, but they're facing their sentencing. So we're going to skip the trial. We're going to admit guilt. We're going to face sentencing. And the, quote, Gestapo re-education program is already underway. And they're blatantly admitting this in the mainstream press right now. Stuart, this is off the rails crazy. They're literally re-indoctrinating people right now. Oh, you were in error. Oh, you... how dare you think that was a great day to stop government from their belligerence and try to have accountability on elections? How dare you? You're going to go into your Gestapo re-education camp right now before you even get your sentencing, because then your sentencing might be lighter if you go along with the deep state. This is the stuff they're doing in front of your very face, sir.
Yeah, well, that's why I call it the gulag on the Potomac. Guys are being denied bond in an attempt to crush their spirits and force them into a confession. Confessing to a crime they did not commit. And they're being, like you said, they're being treated as guilty right now. So you've got judges denying bond on the mere association with Oath Keepers or Proud Boys, two very legal organizations that someone can belong to, but that's not being treated as a criminal act. And the entire overriding smear is that you're disenfranchising black people. There's a congressman from Mississippi that's suing President Trump and Giuliani. His name is Benny Thompson, and he has the NAACP representing him and suing the president, suing Giuliani, and also Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, alleging a big, vast conspiracy to disenfranchise black people. That's their new argument. That's why they want to codify. They want to use that to pressure people into going along with them codifying all of the set-aside of normal rules for elections that they did, like all the massive mail-in ballots, all the, you know, the unguarded boxes of ballots that are all over the city that they allow to be stuffed. All of that they want to make perfectly legal now. That's what they're trying to do. And they're trying to browbeat Americans that if you don't go along with this, then you're racist and you're disenfranchising black people. And if you try to push for election integrity or a recount to expose their criminality, well, of course, you're a white supremacist. That's the entire argument. And they're going to use that now. And you look at the latest release of the strategy to fight, you know, so-called domestic extremism. It's all, they start off with the history of the KKK and how it was founded after the Civil War, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they go right down the line. It's the same smear they've been using for years, trying to say that anybody who stands up on the political right must be a racist and their intent is to harm black people. It's complete nonsense. You know, President Trump let black men out of jail that Biden had put there with federal minimal sentencing laws. And he released black men from jail while Kamala Harris is notorious for putting them in prison, even though she was herself using illegal drugs while she was convicting them of using illegal drugs and putting them in prison. So it's complete flip and projection.
Well, the good news is the new media is taking center stage. The good news is more and more of us are standing together to fight back and tell the tale of truth and liberty every single day. And you know what? I submit to you that they think they've got the upper hand, but they're starting to lose. The more cases that get dismissed, the more evidence that goes on record, the more folks call a halt to their con game and reject their lies and turn off the mainstream press and turn on news sources that tell the truth. You know, they're not going to win this battle, Stuart. I know they think they are, but they're not going to win. We're going to be able to stand peacefully and maintain the rule of law. I think we are.
Well, one thing that has to happen, though, is Americans have got to start pressuring their congressmen and their governors. Every single GOP governor, or every governor, period, should be demanding the release of any citizen from their state who's being held or unfairly charged, which all of them are, right now. So you need to put pressure on your representatives, pressure on your governors, and pressure on your sheriffs. Your sheriffs should be interposing themselves and protecting people against this witch hunt of Trump supporters. They're all over the country. The FBI is all over the place interviewing people and trying to dig up dirt on any patriot they can, and then arresting little old ladies for walking into the Capitol. So it needs to come to a stop. And it needs to be that your state and your local officials need to step up and nullify and interpose.
We also need to make sure people understand, look, folks, the FBI has flat out become a criminal enterprise. Everything they're involved in turns out to be a scandal, a fraud. They're the provocateurs. They're the agent of disruption and confusion. We see this to the point where you can't even defend the FBI at all anymore and say, well, there's good guys in the organization. Well, there may be, but they've turned over to such a criminal enterprise. Everything they're involved in has marks of criminal activity by the FBI, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, since back since COINTELPRO against Martin Luther King, against the Black Panthers, they are notorious for creating crimes, for entrapping people, and then prosecuting them for the made-up crimes that the FBI itself cooked up. And they're also they've also been implicated in MLK's assassination. That's starting to come out now, that there may have been involvement. And I'm not surprised at all. So the FBI tried to get him to commit suicide by sending him a letter, letting him know that they're going to out his extramarital affairs and he should just kill himself. You know, that's part of history. So the FBI has a horrible track record. Ruby Ridge, Waco, it's just horrific. And so I don't think any American should look at the FBI and think, oh, you know, if there's just some good guys there. Or if there are good guys there, guess what? They're still following the orders. I haven't seen one FBI agent yet that stood up and said, no, I will not go and arrest these people. So any of the so-called good guys inside the FBI need to blow the whistle. They need to stand up. They need to refuse to comply with unconstitutional orders. And I haven't seen it yet.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We don't mean to just attack government, okay? Let's be very clear. The constitutional proper role of limited government, replete with the checks and balances so we can chain them down with the Constitution, has value and merit. But these rogue agents that are out of control, that pretend they've got the moral high ground because they're government officials, it's a double stab in the back, okay? They're using the undercover of government to make you believe it's legitimate, and they're acting rogue. And that is the problem. And then what they do is use projection to make it seem like we're the ones out of control. No, at some point, we've got to hold these people accountable and force them to step down and replace them with good, honest patriots who will keep their oaths of office. And that's what the Oath Keepers is all about. Guardians of the Republic, we want you to keep your oath. We want you to have fidelity to the Constitution. Final words yours, Stuart, then we'll let you fly.
Yeah, in fact, right now, we have been deplatformed and demonetized precisely because they can't stop us from doing what we do. They can't counter our arguments because it's based on the U.S. Constitution. They can't control us. They can't control me. They can't blackmail me or bribe me. And so now their attempt is to just wipe us off the face of the earth. They're trying to prosecute our guys, cook up some conspiracy charge against me if they can, you know, find a RICO charge. They're going to do all of these things if they can to shut us down. But at the same time, we've been demonetized because I would not disavow the Oath Keepers that were arrested. Starting with Jessica Watkins, the credit card processor WorldPay, the central card processing system, shut us out. So right now you can't even donate to Oath Keepers online. You might have to mail in a check. So we've been deplatformed and demonetized. That's what they're doing now. And of course, character assassination as well, try to stop us. So, you know, people didn't understand that when you're being treated like that, it means that you are doing something right. Like you said before, you're over the target when you're getting all that kind of flack. So we're not going to let it stop us. We'll be jumping on either on Give, Send, Go's new platform they're coming out with or on Bongino's new platform.
Stuart, be safe. My prayers are with you and the Oath Keepers. Ladies and gentlemen, they've even got conservatives now deceived on this. Their propaganda is so invasive and so ubiquitous. Stand with those who have a track record of stability and success. Reject the dishonest lies, would you please? Stuart, we'll talk to you soon, my friend. Godspeed.
Yep.
All right, there you go. Stuart Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen, oathkeepers.org. You can look at the website and get their address and then send them a check if you want to donate. You can't do it online anymore because, again, they don't have any way to stop us except for try to take away all of our funding, try to demonize and isolate us. But it ain't going to work. There's too many Americans that are awake now. I got news for them. Godspeed the right. Ladies and gentlemen, this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.